Our Old Testament lesson is indeed the 23rd Psalm. And I want you to see that the Bible that I use is, first of all, got a little bit bigger print, and it's the NRV, which is the same version that you have in your Pew Bible. But take right on into here is the 23rd Psalm from the King James, because it still sounds wonderful in the King James, so that's what I will read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointest my head with oil, my cup overflowing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. I want to begin by asking an honest and authentic question. How are things with your soul? The world, though created by God and filled with beauty and wonder, can also be detrimental to our state of well-being, sometimes even to our very lives. The world has a way of draining our energy, robbing us of the joy of living and depleting our sense of wonder. There's not one of us who doesn't need rest, renewal, and restoration of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Anxiety, fear, confusion, anger, worry, stress, and the like, which, as an aside, seems to be the bottom line that most politicians peddle and promote in our day and age, all contribute to one of our deepest desires to find some peace and quiet, and a sense of healing and wholeness in our hectic lives. What do you do to calm yourself? How do you find rest and renewal? How do you relieve your fears and stress and anxiety? Well, often one of the most effective ways is to simply pause and take a deep breath. I have a framed needle point up in my study that I think I've shared with you before. It was made by a congregation I served in Dallas, and it has a simple one word, breathe. That really works. Unfortunately, a common technique to numb the pain in our lives comes in the form of avoidance or even escapism, which can lead to even more troubles. But that being said, there are times when possibly the best thing to do is to simply walk away for a while, to temporarily at least set aside those things that are causing so much anxiety. And I'm one of those, and I know many of you are as well, who finds rest and renewal by listening to beautiful and relaxing music. I have over 160 gigabytes on my home computer. That's a lot of music. I also find rest when I do photography, play with my dogs, take a good long drive in the country, read a good book, and more recently experience a bit of aromatherapy with an essential oil. And I know a good dealer if you need some. She sits in the back. Other stress relievers might be watching a movie, taking a hot bath, or enjoying a glass of wine. Or two. And almost a year ago now came one of the greatest times of rest and renewal in my life. The gift of a 6-week sabbatical graciously offered to me by you, this congregation. So let me ask you the question again. What brings peace and calm and rest to your life. Or perhaps, since we are gathered here to worship God, I should ask that from a spiritual perspective. Where has God led you to find rest, refreshment, and restoration? A theological understanding that the sacred presence of God is present beyond us, with us, and within us means, of course, that we can connect with that presence through any and all activities, at any time and in any place. So yes, for many of us, restoration can come in and through our faith and our journey, our spiritual journey. And I would add that even with all of our intellectual debates over the interpretation of the Bible, the scriptures themselves remain a source of comfort and strength for many. One of my favorite passages to recall when life is tough or hectic is Matthew 11. 28-29. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And another favorite passage from the Hebrew scriptures, our Old Testament, is Psalm 23, of course. Countless people over thousands of years have found comfort in the words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Both of those passages refer to our soul. So I want to take a brief detour at this point to talk about the biblical understanding of this word, soul. The English translation is from the Hebrew word nephesh and from the Greek word psyche. And many can identify with the way Webster's dictionary defines soul, the spiritual nature of humans, regarded as immortal, separable from the body at death. Well, I hate to mess with your understanding of the term soul, because our modern Western perspective has it wrong when we go back and look at the original Hebrew language and the Greek. In both the Old and New Testaments, the soul refers not to just the spiritual, but also to the physical and the emotional as well. For the Bible consistently refers to the soul as the entirety of a living being, both human and animal, in Scripture, in the here and now, not as a separate entity dealing with the hereafter. Your soul, then, is your total self. Is that which makes you, you. Therefore, from a biblical perspective, when we declare that the Lord restores and provides rest for our soul, we need to understand that as a restoration of the totality of our being, the center of our life, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. There is deep comfort in recognizing and acknowledging that the care of your soul, its restoration, is God's concern. To restore your soul means to revive it, to enliven it. But with that comes an ethical and moral purpose. Psalm 23 reveals that the restoration of our soul allows for divine guidance in the right paths of life, or the paths of righteousness in the King James. But what are right paths? Well, from a broad perspective, a right path is one that leads to what the author of the Gospel of John calls abundant life. Those paths that help us to live life fully. The psalmist reveals, however, that sometimes our paths and lives take us through dark and disturbing and threatening places. Verse 4 in the King James Version begins, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." There's probably not a person in this country who hasn't heard this passage at a memorial or funeral service of a loved one. When looking at the original Hebrew language, however, we learn that the single word, which is translated as shadow of death, is actually too narrow of a translation. A more accurate translation is deep darkness. That is why the New Revised Standard of the Bible, which we use in our pews, uses the phrase, even though I walk through the darkest valley. This translation gives the psalm a much greater range of meaning and human experience than just dealing with the issue of death, as important as that is. For we all walk through tough valleys that are deep with darkness at many different times during our life. Times of great pain and sorrow and fear and anxiety, even danger, crisis, illness, tragedy. What dark valleys have you walked through in your life? Maybe you're walking through one right now. The stark reality of this psalm is the acknowledgement that God does not necessarily prevent us from facing dangers and threats and dark valleys. Sometimes we are tempted, however, to think that we walk through these tough times alone. But the greatest promise of this psalm and one of the major central themes throughout the entire Bible is that no matter what the threat or difficulty we may face in life, God is right there with us. As the psalmist declares, "For thou art with me." God with us, literally, Emmanuel, a term also associated with Jesus, carrying this Jewish theological belief directly into Christian theological thought. And as a note of interest, this phrase, "For you are with me," is intentionally located at the exact center of this psalm, giving evidence to the importance of this understanding of God. So yes, God's sacred presence is always with us, always with you. Notice the personal nature of this psalm. Personalize it for yourself. God is always with you to provide you with comfort, support, restoration for your soul. Perhaps in reflecting back on a difficult time in your life is that time when you can better recognize that presence. And this is beautifully reflected in the popular poem, Footprints. I know many of you know it. In a dream, the author sees scenes from his life and notices two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him, the other to the Lord. But he finds that during the lowest and saddest points in his life, there was only one set of footprints in the sand instead of two. He questions why the Lord would abandon him in such particularly troubling times of life, to which the Lord responds, "My precious child, I love you and would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." Now, I know this poem may be a bit too over-sentimentalized for those hardcore progressive theological thinkers among us. And you know who you are. But it does reflect, as does Psalm 23, one of the greatest gifts given in all of the scriptures, the promise of God's continuous presence in our lives. And I think you can apply this to whatever is your understanding of the nature and character of God across the theological spectrum. So perhaps like a few other passages in the scripture, the 23rd Psalm does provide rest and restoration for our souls, brings comfort in times of sorrow and grief, strength and encouragement in times of fear and danger, and calm in times of anxiety and worry. And one more quick point about the differences in meaning found in translating the Hebrew into English. Verse 6 states, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The word follow is a weak translation of the Hebrew word that is used. It carries a much more active meaning, more along the lines of pursuing or even chasing. It's the word used when psalmists talk about how their enemies pursue them. And though this author writes about an abundant meal set in the presence of his enemies, it is not those enemies that are pursuing and chasing him, but rather it is God's goodness and mercy. Put that visual into your heart and mind of God chasing after you with goodness and mercy and love and kindness. May help you to better recognize God's presence in your life when you do encounter these good things. And in the end, this beautifully poetic and vivid imagery used by the psalmist expresses a personal testimony of confidence, dependence, and trust in God. So I invite you to internalize and personalize this psalm for yourself, so that it may serve as a psalm of comfort and strength and confidence in your journey of faith. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. May that promise alone help bring rest and restoration to your soul. Amen.